Corinthians chapter number 9, and we're going to read a few verses over there. I certainly desire your prayers this morning. We've been studying about the shepherd and the sheep for several weeks, and we've moved on from that on this morning. So I enjoyed preaching those messages, but 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 22 down through verse number 27, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I'll give you just a moment to find that scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Verse number 22, the Bible says, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Let's pray. Lord, we just come this morning, and I want to thank you for letting us be here and all the many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray for all the many objects that's already been mentioned this morning, those that have lost loved ones, those that are sick, our nation at large. Lord, we need your prayers, your direction. We need revival in our midst. But Lord, as we come today, I pray that you'd speak to us from the Word of God. I pray that you would just help me, Lord, just to get out of the way this morning. I pray that you would speak to our hearts from your Word. I pray that we might be encouraged, helped, that we might find strength and be edified from the Word of God. I pray that we might be corrected in our lives where we need to have correction. Lord, I pray for the liberty that only comes from the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to each and every heart. And Lord, that you'd have your way in the service today. We'll thank you. And we ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. All right. I especially desire your prayers this morning. We was talking coming to church and about being nervous and things. And, you know, I don't know if you ever get over that, but you get used to it. But sometimes you feel it more than others. And so I desire your prayers. I pray that the Lord would speak to our hearts. But this morning be a little bit different than usual. You know, last Sunday night I preached on wrestling matches of the Bible. And I really enjoyed that. We had a good time in the Lord's house when we came out. And so I would encourage you that the messages and things are always online. And if you didn't get to listen to it. But we're moving on this morning a little bit along the same lines. If you were paying attention there when we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 24, you probably noticed this is the Apostle Paul is using the analogy or the illustration of a race. And the Bible says in verse number 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain." When you have a list of things that you want to do before you die, it's called a bucket list. How many of you have ever heard of a bucket list before? Somebody, most everybody, you've heard of that. You know, I want to do this. I want to travel here. I would like to go over here. You know, whatever it is that people have on their minds that they would like to do before they leave this world, they call that a bucket list. And so you check off, you know, I done that and I done that and all like that. That's what a bucket list is. And one of the things that I had on my bucket list was to run a Spartan race. And a Spartan race is it's a run But it has obstacles along the way, things you have to do and little contests, I guess you might call it. And in April, then in Concord, they had a Spartan race. And some of us know he's sort of the one that got it started, you know. And he said, "Hey, Dad, let's do this. Let's do this Spartan race." And so they had that back in April, and when I say we, Noah and Abigail and Brother Stephen and Sister Jennifer, we all went down there to Concord, and we ran a Spartan race. And that was something that I had wanted to do now for several years. But we arrived, you know, race day came, and we were all excited about it, and you go in and you check in. You give them your name, you give them your identification, and they give you a little packet. It's got your number on it, and it's full of things that you wear and information, wrist bracelets and things like that, timing chips and stuff like that. And so we go through the gate, and they give us all our packet, and you know, we're like little kids at Christmas. We get through the gate, and right there in the grass, we're all standing around, we're opening our packets, and everybody's starting to put their stuff on. And you know, I'm a reader. I think that they give you directions for a reason. And so I don't know, maybe years of reading the Bible sort of got me in a good habit of, be a good idea to read what's on the packet before we start attaching things to our body that you can't get back off. And so I get my packet and I'm looking at it, and the first thing I notice was in big red letters, it says, "Warning." It says, "The Spartan race is a dangerous and demanding extreme sporting racing event." And in bolder red letters, it says, "There is a real possibility that you may die or be catastrophically injured. Each participant voluntarily and knowingly accepts and assumes all risk of participating in the event." And I said a little silent prayer. I said, "Lord, that's on my bucket list, but I don't want it to be the last thing on my bucket list." And so we opened up our packets and we started putting things on and getting ready and things like that. And we did the Spartan race, and you know, it was fun and all like that. But, you know, driving home after it was all over and thinking about the day, and we were talking about it a little bit, I began to meditate upon the events of the day, and I seen a new perception that I had not seen in what the Bible has to say about running a race. And I want to try to preach today and using some of those experiences that we gained and using the scripture here, but I want to try to preach on the subject of the Christian's race. The Christian's race. And we find that here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And I want to point out some things. And the Apostle Paul, I mean, there's several instances in the scripture where Paul especially refers to athletic illustrations, racing, wrestling, things along those lines. And so here he uses another illustration along those lines. And so we're thinking about the Christian's race. Now, the first thing I want to point out is in verse number 24, I want to point out something about the participants of the Christian's race. Verse number 24, Paul said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth a prize? So run that ye may obtain." He talks about they which run in a race. And this is very important to understand the context of what Paul is talking about. This race that he is talking about is not a race to be saved. It is not a race that you run in order to go to heaven. There's a lot of people in the world that are very confused about what it means or what it takes in order to go to heaven. I want to say this morning that we are saved purely and freely, 100% by the grace of God, plus nothing, minus something. You don't run a race to get there. You don't hang on faithful unto the end in order to go to heaven. We're saved by the grace of God. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, he said, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." What going to heaven is based upon is belief upon the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross of Calvary. And so you have to understand that this morning. Paul is not saying we run a race to get to heaven. A lot of people are confused along those lines. The subject that Paul is talking about here, he's talking about our Christian life. He's talking about our service to the Lord. If you go back to verse 22 and 23, notice what he was talking about. He said in verse 22, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." He's talking about some being saved through his ministry, through his life, through the preaching of God's word. He said in verse 23, "And this I do for the gospel's sake." When he's talking about running this is a race that is being run not in order to get to heaven, but for the gospel's sake. For the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. "This I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." And so the participants in this race, this is not to get to heaven. This is for people that have already been saved by the grace of God. Now Paul is referring here to the Greek games. Evidently he knew something about sports. He knew something about athletics. And when you study about Paul and the time period in which he lived, the Greek games evolved into what we know today as the Olympic Games. That's why when they run the flame and light the torch and all that, it always starts over there. And they'll run that torch around the globe until they get to the host city, and then they'll light the flame. But it goes all the way back to the Greek games. It's been around for thousands of years. And that is what the Apostle Paul was talking about. Now, in the original Greek games, if you are a contestant in the games, you had to prove that you were a Greek citizen. It wasn't open to everybody in the world. It was only for the Greeks. And you had to prove that you were of Greek heritage, that you were of Greek birth in order to run in the games. Now, if they won the race, he talks here about people that runs in a race. You run in a race, you want to win. If you ran in the race and you won the race, you were not awarded with citizenship. You were already a citizen. That's why you're running in the race. And it's the same thing in the Christian life. We are not running a race in order to become a heavenly citizen. We are running a race because we're already citizens. If you're saved by the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 19 calls us fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. If you're saved by the grace of God, our conversation, our citizenship is already in heaven. And we don't run that we might become citizens, but we run because we are citizens. And it is a great privilege and it is a great honor to do something in this life for the gospel's sake, so that some might be saved. That's what Paul is talking about here. So you got to understand that first of all, the participants in the race, they're already citizens. We're talking about the Christian life. We're talking about ministry. We're talking about for the gospel's sake. And so number one, there are the participants. Number two, I want to point this out. There's the preparation for the race. Now, you can just sign up and go out there and run, but I think there were some that done that, and I wouldn't recommend it. There were some that were laying and sitting by the trail. There's got to be a preparation for the race. Look what he said in verse 24. He said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize." Then notice what he says. "So run that you may obtain." If you're going to run in the Greek games, if you're going to run a race, you know, you want to run so that you can obtain the prize, so you can win the prize. You don't just wake up one morning and say, "I believe I'll run the race," and go down there. No, there's a time to prepare for the race. "Run that you may obtain." Verse 25, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." Now, when he's talking about in verse number 25, "And every man that striveth for the mastery," he is talking about every person that wants to go to the top of their class. They want to be on the top of the podium at the end of race day. They want to win the gold medal. They want the prize for what they're doing. We're not talking about a Sunday afternoon softball game. We're talking about those that want to be the very best in what they've chosen to do. "That striveth for the mastery." That word "striveth" there, it means to struggle, to compete for a prize, to contend with an adversary. It's translated other places as fight. Somebody's going to fight for something. If they're going to strive for the mastery, is temperate in all things. If you want to be at the top, it's going to take what Paul is saying here. If you want to be at the top, it's going to take 100%. It's going to take all that you've got. It's going to take dedication. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take your time. It's going to take your life. You are going to have to want to do this. You're going to have to prepare in order to run. That's what Paul is making an illustration of here. Now, some things about the preparation. It is a purposed preparation. If we were to take time to go over to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, let me read a verse of scripture over there. The Bible said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." It is a prepared, a purposed race. Somebody has to make up their mind, "This is what I'm going to do." Look what he said in verse 27. Back in 1 Corinthians 9, he said, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." An athlete has to train for a purpose. They have to prepare for what they're going to do. I read a book a couple of summers ago about Louis Zamperini. And that movie, Unbroken, the book is Unbroken, but it's about his life. And he was a POW during World War II, and he was also an Olympic athlete. And it told in that book about his life. And when he was a youngster, he was in all kinds of trouble. And somebody got him, his older brother got him involved on the track team. And man, Louis, he was just a natural at running. And so he started running on the track team. And he was doing pretty good. I mean, he was just naturally gifted to be able to run. And he started beating people and he started doing good. But what he found out was that at a certain point, if he was going to do any better, he had to quit smoking. He had to quit drinking. He had to quit, and he had been doing all these things and still running races and beating people. But a coach came to him and said, "Listen, you're really good. If you will give yourself to this, there's no telling what you could accomplish." Man, he started quitting this and quitting that, and he wasn't running around with the fellas throughout the neighborhood and stealing tires and stuff like that, and he started going to bed on time, and when they really knew he was serious, he stopped even eating ice cream. And he just got plumb fanatical about it. And he got to the point where he wouldn't do anything that would hinder him from running that race, from hitting that mark. And his whole mind, his whole mentality changed from the way that he used to be until becoming just fanatical about being a runner and making it to the Olympics and all of these things. It's a purposed preparation. Athletes make tremendous sacrifices to eat right, to train right, to even think right. They say now if you can't do it in your mind, you've already lost. Isn't there a lot of comparisons there to the Christian life? If we're defeated in our mind, we've already lost. Paul said this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. He said, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You've got to think right. Peter said over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, he said, "Gird up the loins of your mind." You got to think right. If we're going to run the Christian race and be what we ought to be for God, we got to think right. We got to live right. We got to act right. We got to talk right. We don't want to do anything in our lives that will hinder the race that the Lord has set before us to run. It's a purposed preparing. It is a persistent preparing. It's not something that you decide you want to do Friday night, but by Monday morning you've quit again. You gotta live it. Day in, day out, 24/7, 365 days a year. Brother Mike's here this morning. I was talking to him back in spring training. He's a wrestler. And we got to spend a little bit of time together and ate a meal together, and I was talking about wrestling with him, and it's spring break, and everybody else college students, they're gone on spring break. They're off at the beach and hiking and visiting with family, and here the wrestling team is. And I was talking with him about that. I said, everybody else is gone, and here you are, and you got a match coming up, and you know, what do you think about that? And he told me, he said, We knew when we started that this is what we do. This is what we do. They eat together, they sleep together, they train together, they have Thanksgiving meal together, and they spend spring break together, and they run together, and they work together. And that impressed me. This is what we do. And we knew it coming in. You got to be persistent about this thing. The world is not impressed by a Christianity that picks it up one day and goes around and preaching to everybody and lays it down the next day and is off doing what everybody else is doing. Well, we got to be persistent in this thing. The eyes of the world are upon us, and the Lord Jesus Christ is watching our life and how we live and what we do, and we must be persistent in our race for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "For whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God." What am I doing in my life? You say, "I don't know if I ought to be doing this or not." Ask yourself the question, does this bring glory to God in any way whatsoever? Is this helping anybody see the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I an effective witness in what I am doing? And if you can't do it for the glory of God, you ought not to be doing it. We got to be persistent in the race. It's a purposed preparation. It is a persistent preparing that we must have in our lives. It is painful. Now that turns a lot of people off. But this striving here that he's talking about contending with an adversary. It goes right along with the lines of the message we preached on wrestling and what the Bible has to say about it. The reason, you know, I played sports growing up, and you know, practice was always hard. I mean, even baseball, they made us run, not around the bases, run around the outfield. Baseball players never run around that far in a game. Why? We got to run all the way around. And then they would say, not the inside of the outfield, the outside of the outfield fence. Baseball players don't. Have you seen some in Major League Baseball players? They need to lose about 25, 40 pounds. Why is practice so painful? Why in football did they make you run to the point that you wanted to throw up? And some did. Why in cross country, if the race is 3.1 or 2 miles, I think, why do they make you run 6 miles for practice? Because the coach knows that the more you suffer in practice, the better you're going to perform when you have to do it for real. And it's painful. And there's no way around that. You're going to suffer. There's going to be pain. There's going to be times when you want to quit, times when you want to give up. All of those things, some days in an athlete's life, are harder than others. There's injuries that come and they have to work around. And all these things. And the Christian life is the same way. It's real. Ephesians 6 and 12, when Paul said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers." The struggle, the striving, the battle that we have, it's real. It's not imagined. Life is hard. And sometimes you want to quit, and sometimes you want to give up, and sometimes you want to throw in the towel, but you'll not win the race if you throw in the towel. There's a preparing. Even before the runner steps onto the field, there's a time where you must prepare for the race. And so that's encapsulated in what Paul is talking about here. So run that you may obtain, and every man that striveth for the mastery, that's all that hard work before you even come to race day. And then number 3, in verse number 26, I want to point out that there's a process of the race. He said this in verse 26. He said, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." There is the process of the race. I mean, just getting into it and going after it. When you think about the process of the race, I think about the race that we ran, and we ran together as a team, and we said at the outset we're going to stick together, we're going to help one another, and that was a good plan. But race day arrived, and we'd all trained a little bit, I guess you'd say. You know, we felt like we would be capable to do it at least. We were very excited on that day. We were scared just a little bit, but finally it came time for our race. And I'm told this was a big thing. They sent off 250 racers every 15 minutes for 5 hours. $100 a pop, plus insurance. We're all in the wrong business. Came our time to run. Man, we're excited. They lined us up in this, what I would call like a cattle chute. And it's probably about 70 yards down through there. And you had all them people, and some on this side and some on that side. And the guy that started the race, he's, you know, out there getting everybody pumped up. And he said, "You know, what are we? Spartans." Most people don't even know what that is. But on that day, they're all Spartans. And, you know, there's a hollering like a bunch of Marines at boot camp and something like that. And then they let the ribbon down or whatever it was. And, boy, we started out. And I noticed this as I got home, got to thinking about it. At first, it was easy. Started out downhill. Well, that was fun. We was looking at each other and smiling and laughing and all like that. And we run down the hill there. And first little obstacle was a creek you had to cross. These thousands of people already crossed this creek. It was a mess. And one of my main concerns was I didn't want to get wet and get my feet wet right off the bat, because I knew that would be miserable. And so there's the first thing you got to do. And I'm running, and I see everybody diving in, and I saw a little opening to the left. And I thought to myself, I can jump over that. And I jumped, and I did make it over, but 1,000 people's already run up that bank, and it's slicker. And I just slid right back. Got wet up to about my knees right off the bat. Run on, and I got to looking for Abigail. Abigail, she's concerned we was all going to run off and leave her. And I said, "Where's Abigail?" And I got to looking back. I think somebody pushed her down and trampled over the top of her. She got head to toe. And then we ran and we ran. And boy, that smiling and laughing, that didn't last but just a very short time. When you're running a race, there is a process that goes through your mind that this is going to take a while, and we ran through the fields and we ran through the woods and we ran through the creeks and up and down and over and under and all of those things. It was over 5 miles and 20 different obstacles that we had to do, and we climbed and we pulled things and we carried a 5 gallon bucket of rocks up and down this trail and all around. That was hard. These people setting it down and huffing and puffing. If you dropped your rocks, you had to go back to the beginning and get another bucket full of rocks. And I mean, somebody said that was the soul crusher. And it was. It was a very hard thing to do, the whole race. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says this, and this is what it means when it says, "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." It wasn't a 100-yard dash. This is going to take a while. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There's a lot of things going to go through your mind over the course of the afternoon. There's a lot of times you're going to want to stop and kick yourself and say, "What am I doing? Why am I doing this?" Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And then verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." That is something that will help us in our Christian lives. You can't run along in your Christian life. And you can't run along in a race and be telling yourself the whole time, I'm quitting, I'm hurting, why am I doing this? I want my mommy, and I'm cold, and I'm hungry, and I wish that it wasn't like this, but it is like this, and you just can't go through life living that way. You got to have something to look unto. The Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're to run with patience. This is not going to be over in a short period of time. This is something that's going to take a while. We must look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I noticed this when I thought back about the race. The hardest part was the last part. It got progressively harder, and even people that were doing well and in shape towards the end began to think to themselves, you know, I'm about ready for this to be over with. We were running along at one point, and Brother Stephen was near me, and I think we passed the 3 or the 4 mile mark, and I yelled out to him. I said, "I got my money's worth about a mile ago. We're just now about halfway through." But it got harder towards the end. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I always thought life would be like this. I thought life, you know, as you get older and wiser and you get your children grown and, you know, get them headed in the right direction, that it would be easier. Preacher Carl told me one time, he said, "You know, I thought once I become an older pastor that a lot of these problems I'd had early on, I wouldn't have them anymore." But he said, I've got as much and more as I ever had. Life's not going to get easier as we go along. There's bright spots and good spots, but I'm telling you, it's progressively, if it's a race, it's going to get harder near the end. We came up, we're near the end now. We've been out there an hour and a half or so. We had to crawl and roll under a barbed wire. It's like something you'd see in the military. It's about 100 yards. I didn't think we was ever going to get done with that. Then we had to run through a cow paddy field. People sliding and falling. 2 or 3 different places I seen where people's shoes had come all off their feet, just stuck in the mud. Then we finally get down, there's a bunch of people gathered around and they're stopped, and you know, we don't know what's coming up. And as we got up closer, I seen what it was. It was nothing but a big old pit of water and mud. And it was cold that day, and I said, "Oh, I dread this." And so we got our team together, and we said, "We're going to stick together." And we all got together, and we all just slid down that bank into that water, and man, it was that Boy, it was took your breath away. Had to make your way through and climbing up the bank on the other side. We literally had to somebody get a foot, and Noah got up there and he reached over and helped drag us up that bank. And man, I never got been so happy to get through something in my life. I said, praise the Lord, I hated that. That was awful. And I got right over the top of the bank and looked, and there was another same thing. And then we got through that one. I said, praise the Lord, I'm glad that's over. Went over, and there's another one, same thing. My heart was falling just a little bit. And then got through that one, same thing. And there's another one. Only this side they had a big wall, and you had to go under the wall, and you had to get in that old nasty water. Right up to the top of my, I had one little gray spot that was still gray. It was awful. And then there was a wall. Big old wall after that, and now we're all wet and we're all cold and the wind is blowing and we got to wait. Patience. Let us run with patience. And there's a wall and you had to climb up that wall and there's a rope and everybody's got mud all over them. And so the people are climbing up that wall. It's like 8 or 10 people and we're all lined up trying to wait on climbing up that wall, and there's a guy fell from the top. Boom, 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 boom. Everybody... could get catastrophically injured doing this. You climbed over that wall and you jumped across another creek, and then you had to run up the hill that at the beginning you was running down the hill and it was all fun and games. But then when you had to run back up that hill, that was awful. Then you had to climb a rope, and then you had to jump through a fire. Really. Had a big fire, man. You had to jump over the fire. And there was the finish line after that. But it got harder. Life is sometimes going to get harder. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. At that point, you want to quit. At that point, you want to die. Hey, it doesn't matter. You just want to get it over with. And you're suffering and you're cold and all of those things. But there's a process to going through the race. But then after that, there's a prize. It's a prize. Look in verse number 25, what the Bible says. He said, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Last thing we did after we climbed up that rope and jumped over that fire, right there was the finish line, and there's a lady, there's a few people out there, there's a lady on the right, and she's standing there, and she had these things all up and down her arm. And she's looking at me, and she had one for me. She had all these medals, and she had this one. She said, nobody wanted to come over here to me. I don't know what it was. And she had the prize for me. Well, we put them things on. We said, I'm wearing this to church tomorrow. I'm wearing this to school. I'm wearing it when we go out to eat. Man, I suffered for this. I'm proud of my medal I got. They gave us half a banana. That's the best half a banana I've ever had in my life. Gave us a little drink, gave us a protein bar, took our picture. Man, it was great. And I had my medal, and we were all looking at them. And we're walking through the parking lot, going home. And me and Brother Stephen, I'd say, what's that sound? That's my medal. We sound like cows in a field. Well, I got home. Man, I'm proud of my medal. And I took my medal over to my dresser and hung it up on the top of the mirror up there. And that's where it's been till this morning when I took it back off. Paul said, they do it for a corruptible crown. These athletes, they do these things. They go through all these things. They sacrifice. They suffer. They train. They change their whole lives. And they compete. And they do all these things. They do it for something that's going to rust. They do it for something that's going to hang on a dresser, put in a trophy case. The Greek games, they gave them a laurel wreath. How long do you think that lasted? A few days? See, the analogy Paul's making, look what they do for something that's just going to hang on a dresser. But, he said, we for an incorruptible one. Well, the race that we're running is not for a piece of metal of some kind that really isn't worth anything except to say, look what I done once upon a time. But the prize that we're talking about is an incorruptible crown. We don't do it to work our way to heaven, but there will be rewards for work that is done while we're here in this life. Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6. He said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Paul said, there's a prize. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. There's a crown of righteousness. The Bible said in the book of Revelation chapter 2, verse number 10, John told the church over there, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. There's five crowns that are mentioned in the Bible. They're not all for preachers and missionaries, but they're for people that lived and worked for the gospel's sake. God doesn't call everybody to be a preacher. God doesn't call everybody to be a missionary, but there's something that the Lord has called each and every one of us to do. And we say, well, after I got home and it'd been a few days, I got a survey from the Spartan race. And they wanted to know, they said, would you do it again? They wanted to know, would you recommend it to a friend? And I filled out the thing and I sent it back to him. But I got to thinking about that. Do you think that when we get to heaven and we've got what the Lord Jesus Christ has laid up for His faithful ones, do you think you'd do it again? I wouldn't want to live it. The Christian life is not a bed of ease. But it's a whole lot better than it was when I was out there without the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's good. Lord's good. Would you do it again? I'd do it all again. Would you do that again? Probably not, but I'd live the Christian life. Would you do it again? Would you recommend it to a friend? I'd highly recommend it to a friend. There's no better way to live than to live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Could we do better? We could all do better. But you could do a lot worse. As you live along in this life, I was saying about that song that we sing sometimes, when we see Jesus, it will be worth it all. Every trial will seem so small when we see Him. It'll be worth it all one of these days. There's a prize. Let me show you one last thing and I'll be done this morning. I'm doing good. It's not even 12 o'clock yet. I'll show you one last thing. There's a penalty. There's a penalty. If you look in the last verse, what the Apostle Paul is talking about in verse number 27, notice what he said about this race. He said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's not talking about losing your salvation. That's talking about being disapproved in the race of life. Disapproved in our Christian service, unapproved, rejected, worthless, not lost, but you can lose out. You can lose out. The Apostle Paul in chapter number 3 talks about the judgment seat of Christ, that every man's work shall be tried by fire. And if our work is nothing but wood, hay, and stubble, it will be burned up. But the individual will be saved, yet so as by fire. We don't want to come to the end of our life and be unapproved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know, I got to studying about this. In 1980, there was a lady named Rosie Ruiz. And she won the Boston Marathon. She won it in record time. No woman had ever ran the Boston Marathon in this time that she had. And she ran across the line. And I mean, she won the race and broke the tape and got the trophy and everything. But almost immediately, people begin to question whether she'd even run the race. And one of the things they noticed about her is when she crossed the finish line, she just, you know, just sort of jogged in there. I've saw some of them marathon runners, and when they cross the line, they're wobbling all over and falling in the grass, and people's helping them. But she just run right along. She cheated. She looked fresh because she'd only run about 4 miles. They asked her, they said, Mr. Ruiz, where did you get your energy? She said, I woke up feeling good this morning. Just went out and run 26 miles, hardly broke a sweat. But they found out that she'd cheated. They took all of her, everything away from her, and they got the person that really won at their expense, flew them back, let her cross the finish line in front of about 3,000 people. I mean, how do you rectify something like that? I got studying about that. There's a lot of people cheats. Up in St. Louis, in two years in a row, this lady done the same thing. Cut off part of the race, run across the line. They give her the accolades and everything, crowned her. And they found out she cheated. And she come back done the same thing next year. I don't want to live my life and get to the end and be disapproved by the Lord Jesus Christ. We were playing a game last night, and one of the answers the question was something like this. Who's the greatest bicycler of all time? Who's won more Tour de France than anybody else? Everybody knew the answer. Lance Armstrong cheated. Cheated. I used to love to watch Pete Rose when I was growing up. Charlie Hustle is what they called him, man. He was fun to watch. He had a lot. He's a good ball player. Cheated, banned for life from baseball, no Hall of Fame. I don't want to get to the end and be like Pete Rose. Who's the all-time home run champion? Hank Aaron. No, he's not. Barry Bonds is. But nobody recognizes Barry Bonds. Why? He cheated. People can't stand a cheater. I don't want to get to the end of my Christian life. I don't want to run good for a few years or for 20 years or something like that. I want to be like Paul, who said, I'm just getting ready to die and I'm going to go to the Lord and there's a crown up there. That's how we ought to want to be. Too many times in this life we see somebody, they get saved, that's wonderful, and they're really on fire and they're going to do all this, but they just don't last very long. I don't want to be like that. There's a penalty. Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Our body should not lord over us. We have to lord over our body. Your body doesn't tell you what to do. You tell it what to do. We're not going to do that. We're not going to live this way. We're not going to go there. Look, they gave us the packet, and the first thing on it was a warning. The second thing on it was rules to abide by. You got to abide by the rules or you're going to be disqualified from the race. This is the rule book, the Bible. Wouldn't it be sad to live your life thinking, you know, I'm doing all right. I'm doing what I think. Don't matter what you think. It's what this book says. And if we don't abide by the rule book, going to be a castaway. Not to lose salvation, but to lose rewards. To lose rewards. There's a race for us to run. A Christian race. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed, our eyes closed.